We're joined now by Gabe Locke from USA Today to talk baseball's opening day goes this weekend. Gabe, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. Let's start with former Blue Jay Jose Reyes. He's had his charges dropped, his domestic violence charges, but a lengthy suspension from MLB still likely going to come. I guess your thoughts on Reyes and how long do you think the suspension could be, and will it be similar to new Yankee closer Aroldis Chapman?
Yeah, I think we're pretty safe to say that that it's going to be lengthier than that, just because of the nature of the evidence and the fact that that Aroldis Chapman got 30 games and there really wasn't a whole lot of physical evidence there. The case with Reyes, even though charges won't be filed, that doesn't mean that that Major League Baseball can't impose discipline. In fact, we can certainly expect them to, because there weren't any charges filed in the Chapman case either. But it wouldn't be surprising to see him get up to 80 games, just because Major League Baseball really wants to send a pretty strong message with this. And all indications, based on the police report involved in the Reyes case and everything else, is that this was a pretty bad situation involving his wife. So it may take them a while to kind of regroup after it looks like the prosecutors in Hawaii aren't going to be pursuing a trial. But you would think over the next week to 2 weeks, we'd probably see something come down. The question is if Reyes will appeal it, or if he'll kind of accept, in some cases negotiate, but accept the suspension for Major League Baseball, as Aroldis Chapman did.
Gabe, how much of a concern is a distraction like this for a ball club? I mean, in a lot of cases, you go into the clubhouse and the real world's shut out. How does a situation like this affect the ball club in this case?
Yeah, I think probably not too much in the case of the Rockies. They were kind of assuming that that he wasn't going to be there. He's been on paid leave since pretty much since spring training started in mid-February. So they certainly were probably resigned to the fact that he wasn't going to be around for, you know, certainly the first quarter of the season, even up to the first half of the season. Just yesterday, they named Trevor Story their starting shortstop. So It's almost like you have to work. You know, they've been working under the assumption he's not going to be around anyway. So this is probably not anything too new to the clubhouse, and not really clear what their expectations are this year anyway. I think the largely acquiring Reyes was largely to get free of Troy Tulowitzki's salary in future years. So from a pure baseball standpoint, I think it's probably not too big of a deal for them. Maybe the one kid that might be affected is Story, because he would probably like to know when the incumbent veteran will be back, and he's sort of on the clock to try to play to prove he should be an everyday major leaguer, and they'll certainly have a window to do that.
Gabe, you mentioned expectations. Going into this season, one thing that jars me, I'm of an age and used to cover baseball. I used to go down to Hohokam Park in Arizona and watch the Cubs from the second they would start spring training. When I see them as one of the favorites to win the World Series, I still find that jarring. A lot of fans have been hoping that for a long time. How good are the Cubbies this year going in, and who do you like in the rest of the field?
Yeah, I think they're really good. I think there's a little bit of question at the back end of their rotation in terms of Jason Hamill, in terms of if Kyle Hendricks can be, you know, a 6-7-inning guy every night out, and pitch with some consistency. But he's potentially really good too. After you have the veteran trio of Lester, Lackey, and of course the Cy Young winner Jake Arrieta, I'm kind of believing the hype here. They're really well put together. They've got a pretty good underrated bullpen, which can be an Achilles heel. I think they're pretty strong there. Really good defensively. I mean, all the things if certain things go wrong from a slump or regression standpoint, and really they shouldn't unless the young players take a step back, which can sometimes happen. I think they're really kind of impervious to all that. And that's not to say that the Cardinals aren't going to be good. They're going to be really good. I mean, you're looking at the Cubs, Cardinals, and Pirates again. I think the Giants look really strong. Big question, I think, will be, you know, the Diamondbacks and Dodgers, which team might emerge more solidly. D-backs did some big things. The Dodgers have had a lot of injuries. And then in the East, I kind of lean a little bit toward the Nationals over the Mets. But that, again, that should be about a real dogfight. Both teams will be probably in the high 80s win-wise, and we'll see what happens. But you're going to see a lot of parity and a lot of real coin flips when it comes to playoff spots this year.
Gabe Locke from USA Today joining us, talking MLB as opening day goes this week. And just one more quick one on the Chicago Cubs. Theo Epstein's been there since October of 11, I wanted to say. And they obviously took big steps forward last year, making the playoffs and making it to the NLCS. If, and this is a big if, there's a lot of baseball to play, but if Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and his group, if they can deliver a World Series championship to the Chicago Cubs, does Theo Epstein go down as one of the best executives in the last 50 years, and not just baseball, but in all of sports?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's. I think he's already there, because whether or not the Cubs win it or not, I mean, you can't argue with how he rebuilt the team. And the other thing that's kind of been big for him, too, is as soon as he took the job in Chicago, the collective bargaining agreement was changed, and he suddenly was not able to draft guys and pay them exorbitant overslot bonuses as he was in Boston. And he kind of chafed at that and kind of gritted his teeth, and they went about it and found other ways to rebuild the team. So he's kind of done it under two different conditions, you might say, even though the Cubs have financial might. It wasn't just that made it happen. I think absolutely. You look at Theo Epstein and then the current guy in Boston, Dave Dombrowski, just a couple of fabulous executives who, you know, Theo's been at this now for 14 years. So he's no longer the young executive. I mean, he's been doing it for a while. He's been doing it under, you know, a lot of different market conditions when you just consider the shifting landscapes of baseball. And he's done it really cleanly. There's not a lot of big payroll on the Cubs. They still have a very loaded farm system. It's pretty remarkable what he's done. So I don't think there's too much hype you can say about that guy.
Gabe, being on this side of the 49th parallel, got to ask you for your take on the Toronto Blue Jays. The obvious thing for me is, do they have the arms? But when you look at them top to bottom, what are the questions for you?
Yeah, the back end of the rotation, most likely, and maybe more so the middle of it. I really like the way Aaron Sanchez has thrown the ball this spring. I mean, he's looked great, and they have an interesting plan in that they're going to start him in the rotation, transition into the bullpen. So I think that's gonna work out real well, and Stroman is going to work out real well. Probably the big question is the 3 and 4 guys, Marco Estrada and R.A. Dickey. Was Estrada's year just a mirage? I don't think so. You know, I think he really proved a lot and figured out a lot as a pitcher, and he's a really good fit with his repertoire there and with that defense behind him. What does Dickey have left in the tank? I mean, you know, it's a little bit of a dance with the devil in terms of the knuckleball. You never know which one's going to show up on a given start or a given year even. That said, still some depth there. You got Drew Hutchison. He's going to start in the minor league, so they have a capable sixth starter. To me, that's always a big deal. You know, we fix it on 1 through 5, and by the end of the year, 8 to 10 guys have started the game for a given team. So, I think they're in pretty good shape. I like Osuna as the closer. Weatherstorm has kind of gotten over the yips that got the best of him in Washington here. That's probably another question, but I think with a change of scenery, he'll be really good. So, a lot to like about them. And I kind of like the Red Sox going into spring. They did not have a good spring. A couple big losses there. Eduardo Rodriguez is banged up, and Carson Smith, key setup guy they got in a trade for Wade Miley, he's also hurt. So I think the Red Sox kind of came back to the pack a little bit. I think I kind of lean slightly now toward the Blue Jays to repeat.
Gabe Locke from USA Today, join us. Just a couple more quick ones for you. Obviously, the Blue Jays, they overhauled their front office this offseason. John Gibbons is back. They've restructured parts of his contract. Do you expect John Gibbons to be the manager of the Jays post-All-Star break? I said off the top that I believe if they're struggling even around the 500 mark around All-Star, they'll make a change. What do you think? Is John Gibbons' job safe in Toronto?
I think it's safe, at least through the year, unless they really underachieve. And by that, I mean like 5 to 10 games under 500. I think he's gotten so much credibility within the franchise, beyond the front office, just in the clubhouse, and even with the fan base at this point. He's just did such a nice job with a kind of interesting conditions last year, needless to say. So I think, if you were to get rid of that guy, it would certainly, I don't think it would cause a mutiny among the players, but I think it would certainly, kind of cause a bit of a loss of faith from the standpoint of, all right, well, Anthopoulos put this thing together. They kind of let him go. And Gibbons managed us to the doorstep of a World Series. Now they let him go. What the heck's going on here? So I think he'd really have to manage his way out of the job. I don't think they'll be looking for the very first move, first reason to try to get rid of him. So if all goes well, I think he'll be around. I think it would take pretty significant underperformance for them to find a reason to get rid of him.
And the last one for you, Gabe, I want to get your thoughts on Bryce Harper. Still only 23 years old, won the MVP last season. We all know the resume he brings. Earlier in spring training, there's an article that came out, and he kind of questioned some of the old code of baseball. Gabe, is Bryce Harper now the face of MLB? Is that good for the game? And is he right? Does baseball kind of need to update their unwritten code?
It's such a complex issue. I mean, there's a time and place for everything. I mean, it's we try to paint this in black and white, one real strident camp saying Jose Bautista is an idiot and another camp saying you should be able to do anything you want at any time. It's not the case. I think you can make a reasonable argument that Jose Bautista's bat flip was appropriate at the time. I think you could probably also make an argument that if Jose Bautista or any player were to do that on June 30th in the eighth inning of a 9-1 game, that wouldn't be appropriate. somewhere in the middle there is an acceptable, I guess, kind of standard of, for lack of a better term, behavior. So I think there's a lot of merit to what Harper said. And he's obviously on a skews to the very young end of things. And baseball is competition at its heart, and it's simply a matter of if you and I have six chicken McNuggets to share and you take four and I only get two, you've broken our unwritten rule, as silly as it is, but you'd each get three. That's competition. It's the same thing in baseball. I mean, you're fighting for every last little inch of the plate, frustrations rise. The unwritten rules didn't come about for some silly reason. I mean, it's kind of an evolution of things, and things can change. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing some change, and it's a little bit uncomfortable. But I hope that we can, they as a game can kind of come to a consensus that we don't have to be so bitter and miserable all the time. At the same time, you don't necessarily have to moonwalk around the bases every time you hit a home run either.
Gabe, I lied. This is going to be my last one for you. Appreciate your time today. Give us one pick from the NL, one pick from the AL, who you think will be facing off in the World Series this year.
Yeah, every time I go on the radio, I probably have changed it on the radio. I'm going to put it down in print sometime soon. I'm going to say Nationals, and I am going to say Astros. Why not? Nationals, Astros. That's what we'll go with for Edmonton right now.
Going out on a limb, Gabe, I appreciate your time. Thanks for this, and enjoy opening weekend.
Okay, thank you. You guys too. Appreciate it.
Gabe Locke from USA Today.